Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good morning.
There it is.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How you
nailed
doing?
It. I'm doing well. Happy Holy Week, man. It's
happy
almost
Easter.
Easter.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's a big week in the calendar of the church. And man, just excited to approach Easter.
Yeah. You got some big plans?
Well, our church does like a Maundy Thursday thing and a Good Friday deal. And so we'll do that. And then, worship on Sunday. So
good deal. Any family coming in or?
No, not this year. Not this year. We're just all real, real tied up and busy, but we will be in spirit together. We can't wait to get together soon. So what are your plans? You got anything going on?
Yeah, man. The in-laws are actually coming into town.
Are they coming?
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
That's great. Down from Michigan, right?
That's right. That's right. I'm excited about it. It should be a lot of fun.
Super.
Whenever my father-in-law comes into town, we always go fishing. So I'm looking forward to that.
That's right.
Does
he let you smoke your pipe?
Well, see, I was thinking about that. Yeah, I'm sure he's not going to have a problem with it. I was planning, last time that I was up there, mm-hmm. we went fishing in just kind of these little creeks in Michigan and just had like a wonderful, wonderful time. And I was kicking myself that I didn't bring my pipe.
Yeah.
And so next year when I go up there, I'll definitely be busting out the pipe. But this year, I'm getting ready. One thing that I was thinking about, though, is when I get out there, I'm not as worried here because we do bank fishing when we're in Mississippi.
Right.
Whereas hopefully this year when we go up to Michigan, we'll be doing some, fly fishing actually in the river. That's what I hope to do. But this year, one way or the other, I'll like to smoke my pipe, and I've mentioned this on the show, when fishing, and I'm a little concerned about, dropping the pipe, because when you're out there...
That's why you got to get you a fishing pipe, man. I mean, I know you have one, but like...
No, but like, is there... Because that's the thing. Normally when I smoke my pipe, it's just me. I'm not talking to anybody or anything like that, so it's no big deal.
Right.
But when I'm, when you got somebody out there, you're fishing, you got your hands busy and everything, got your pipe in your mouth,
that's
and somebody's talking to you.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned.
You got to get good at multitasking at that point.
Yeah. Is there any kind of like clip that you could kind of almost, and it comes, where this comes from? It's from being a parent. And, they've got all those attachments that you can put to your kids.
You need like a pipe lanyard.
Something like that, That would be great.
It's out of control. Please, if anyone's listening, do not invent a pipe lanyard. I don't know, maybe they should invent a pipe lanyard.
I think it's a good idea.
A pipe fishing lanyard.
Some way to kind of like almost clip it and so that if it falls out or falls off, then you're solid and you don't lose your pipe to the river.
Someone is going to be a millionaire after they do this. Just go ahead and invent it.
Well, it'll be a lot of fun. I will say this, I am really really, really ready for Lent to be over.
Yeah, man, you've had a big haul in front of you on this one. For those of y'all who didn't know or had forgotten, Bo has given up meat.
It's been rough. It's been rough.
He said he could have meat as long as it was fish and as long as he caught it.
That's the caveat.
As often as we hang out, dude, I haven't seen you go fishing in several months.
It's been a while, man. I was hoping that would actually encourage me to get out there a little bit more and enjoy that, but haven't had the opportunity. Whoops. It's tough, dude. You get the kid in and it changes your life.
Does it count if you go to Whole Foods and get like a dead fish and put it in like the bathtub and then go? I'm just trying to get creative here with it. I know that doesn't have the point in mind at all.
Well, it is. You know, the funny thing is it's starting to mess me up. I went to local bakery here, Broad Street.
Yeah.
And got
love Broad Street.
Oh, yeah, me too, man. I went there this morning, got some breakfast. And I go there. This kind of shows you how you know, I go there a little bit too much. I went there. I placed my order for an egg and cheese biscuit sandwich. They've got a ham egg and cheese biscuit sandwich, but it's just an egg and cheese biscuit
sandwich.
Hold the ham. The guy actually came out of the kitchen, tracked me down. He's like, wait, Mr. York, did you want ham on that like you normally do?
Not today.
Yeah. I said, next week.
That's good, man.
But I'm looking forward to that. It'll be a...
Yeah. It's the best week of the year, man. I really love this time of year. It's a good one.
Yeah. We got some beautiful weather, too. It's good.
Yeah. It's really pretty.
We're ready. Well, man, we got a great topic today that I'm excited about.
I'm fired up. We're talking today about briars.
That's right. Now, we have done centric episodes on meerschaum before, meerschaum pipes, and kind of what the origins of the meerschaum pipe and you know what that really is and what that really means.
Right.
We've touched on briar before when we did our history of pipes. We kind of talked about meerschaum and we talked about clay pipes especially.
Yeah.
But I thought that it might be fun for us to really focus in on what is arguably the most popular form of pipe. Today,
which is absolutely
the briar pipe.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, almost all the pipes we regularly mention here on the show are briar pipes. We love briar, and the story behind briar, it's kind of interesting. I don't exactly know how it developed to be, or who really identified it, but just as a good pipe smoking material. But it's something that obviously since the 19th century has just taken over, and almost all good pipes that are for regular use. Are going to be briar pipes, certainly in the Western world. So, briar kind of gets its start. It's funny, people don't really know. In the South, and there's cartoons too. You've seen briar patch, right? And so people are like, oh, briar. That's like, when you think of briar in America, and you're not thinking of pipes necessarily. You might be thinking of like a big thicket of
thorns
and root. Stuff and just kind of like bush that's thorny and like a thicket. That's just kind of what growing up. That's what I thought of.
Splash Mountain, Disney World.
Thank you. I'm glad someone else that came to your mind.
Yeah, the origins of that story are terrible. But it's awful. But as far as like the actual ride, when you go down into the quote unquote briar patch, they have these massive thorn bushes.
You're in a hollowed out log thrown over a cliff into a briar patch waterfall.
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
And you need therapy afterwards, but it's great. So we think of briar as that, and that is one use of the term briar. But briar actually it comes from. The heath tree, which is grown in the Mediterranean basin around in Europe and northern Africa, just right there around the Mediterranean Sea. Obviously, you've got a whole lot coming from places like Italy, southern France, Spain, and it'll go on into Portugal too. But then you've got the top portion of Africa there, so you'll have like Algeria and even some varieties in Morocco, but. The heath tree, it's a beautiful tree. It's actually, the name for it is the Erica arborea. And the Erica arborea it's kind of a bushy tree, and it's got beautiful little white flowers, almost like little poppies. They're really, really pretty. The size of the blooms are similar to maybe like a lantana or verbena or something.
Okay, yeah.
But it's real prolific. And these heath trees grow on these kind of cliffs and whatnot, overlooking real rocky, kind of gnarly soil, overlooking this, I said gnarly,
yeah.
It's okay, overlooking the Mediterranean. People that, refer to the heath tree root as briar in Europe, that is actually the root of the heath tree.
Right.
And so, when you're making a pipe, you're not just cutting down the heath tree and then, taking some from the trunk or whatever. You're actually harvesting the root. And it's not just any part of the root. It's the gnarl at the top of the root.
So, when you say that, a lot of different trees will actually have, strictly underground root systems, and the other ones will have kind of this kind of weaving in and out.
Yeah.
With the heath tree, is this more of like where the roots are almost
the
base of the trunk, or does it weave?
It's like at the base of the trunk, but it's an exposed kind of, some of it's underground, but it's an exposed gnarl kind of at the top of that, atop of the root. And so it's really at the base of the tree. You can get online and see some really interesting pictures where they've unearthed some of these trees and brought out some of these gnarls of briar. So it's a really hard wood, And the thing about Briar, and this is what I'm interested in, I'd love to get some feedback if anyone knows about it, but it's very heat resistant. And I don't know where, who on earth figured that out? Or like, if were they having a bonfire and the briar like, didn't...
Why will this wood not...
Why will it not burn? Like, ooh, let's smoke something out of it. Yeah. I'd love to see how that developed. But yeah, so, you know, in the 19th century, mid-1800s, you started seeing briar used more and more for pipe smoking. And what they do, when they harvest the tree... and they get the root ball out of there, and they take these briar, basically chunks of briar, which is the top of that root. They'll age it. If it's a good pipe and it's someone that really wants to do something special with it, they'll age that briar perhaps for years. Some of these pipe companies will age it for 60, 80, even 100 years.
When you say aging the briar, what does that process entail?
You're just putting it back. It's basically like cellaring it, for a period of time. What you're trying to do is get the briar to dry out, the briar to just become as clean and dry as it can be without any added, you know, liquids or anything like that. You're just trying to get it real clean. And so it's just air cured. What most people or what a lot of companies do, you know, if they're trying to make pipes quicker, they'll actually fire age these things. And so they'll put it in a barn or some kind of situation where...
So real similar like curing tobacco.
That's right. Yeah. They'll expose it to heat. That's not typically your higher end pipes that do that. These are folks that are more mass production pipes. And when you do that to briar, you're more prone to things like breakage and pits and all kinds of other things that can develop. So it's not as good for the briar if you do that. But anyway, the really good pipes are going to be aged for a while. You've got a couple different types of the briar. If you think about like a plateau briar, you've got plateau and Ebauchon. So basically, if you think of a freehand pipe that's got the exposed bark on the top. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So where someone's kind of left it exposed and natural looking. That's the plateau of the briar. That's the oldest part of that root knot. And so they leave that out because it's so beautiful, but it's that bark on the outside. It's the oldest part. So it's been there for a really long time. It's aged and so they'll carve, it's typically got the most beautiful, straightest grain as well. And so they'll carve kind of more premium pipes out of that. You'll see Ebauchon, which is that kind of the lower part of the briar that's down further in the root knot. They'll carve, you know, just good pipes, but pipes that maybe aren't as stunning as the plateau briar pipes. So, yeah. You're looking at a couple pictures there. A big old root gnarl from a heath tree. So, but really interesting. You know, briar, another quality of it is that when you smoke from it, the beauty of it is that it doesn't mess with the flavor of the tobacco very much, Bo. So you've got you've got a substance that when you're using it, it's not really interacting much with the tobacco, so you're just getting a real clean smoke.
Now, the briar doesn't impart flavor to the tobacco, but the tobacco does impart flavor to the briar. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is right. And occasionally, you know, I don't know if any of our listeners have cooked with like a cast iron skillet or something before, but it can kind of be similar to that. You're basically seasoning that briar over time. So if you smoke a tobacco that's real consistent, like if you're a you know, like at our shop at the Squire, we've got Cherokee smokers that's all they smoke for 40 years. You know?
Right.
So if that's your blend and you're putting that in your pipe every time, I mean, your pipe is good to go for Cherokee. It's going to be real sweet with a little hit of vanilla and that kind of thing. But the same goes for, you know, blends that favor more Latakia or Virginias or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's really, really nice. A lot of folks like to smoke occasionally out of a pipe that's not made of briar just to experience the different tastes. And what I see most in my shop is cherry wood. A lot of folks will see a cherry wood pipe that they say the taste is a little different. And corn cob smokers will say that as well.
Right.
Not as much on the top of more when you get down to the very bottom of the bowl, it gets kind of a husky taste to it. real handy to have a corncob pipe if you're going fishing or something like that. But
well, then maybe I should get one.
I know, but that's the thing. See, if you lose a corncob, you're not out very much. You know,
yeah, that's true.
It's pretty handy.
That's, you know, maybe I should go pick up a pork. Y'all got some corncobs, right?
I know a local tobacconist that'll sell you one.
Yeah, yeah, y'all got a pretty good deal on them.
that's great.
Man, it's not a bad idea. I might have to swing by and
yeah,
maybe this weekend will be my opportunity to try that.
But well, Briar's kind of all over the map as far as its quality goes, you know, because it is prone to, you know, you can get some bugs and beetles and stuff that'll kind of weave their way in there. Matter of fact, I've had a couple local carvers here that have brought in a block where they've started to make this beautiful pipe on this block of briar, and then they get inside of it and there's these beetle holes where this beetle has just made its little home up in there, and it's just a sad thing. I mean, you love it for the beetle. He's living in the best wood on earth, but you know. But, you know, the briar, just because it's such a hard wood and, again, you know, just aged over time and dried out and heat resistant, it makes a really good substance to smoke pipes out of. And it's particularly beautiful. The grain on it is very, very tight. It's very, very lovely grain.
So with, I mean, aside from, you know, the obvious, what we would talk about predominantly here is the pipes.
Yeah.
Are there any other kind of specific uses for briar, given its, especially its heat resistance?
Not any good ones. No, I
wasted
actually,
briars. That's,
you know, I have read, you know, it just in kind of boning up on this, you know, people use it like for knife handles.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And just, you know, things for, you know, different kind of tools and that type of thing. Yeah. But that's really all I know as far as that goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The heath tree is beautiful. I'd love to get my hands on a couple to plant in front of the squire.
I was going
to
ask, can we grow those in Mississippi?
You know, I'm just not sure. I mean, all the good briar in the world comes from the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd be interested to know if anyone in America has tried to grow.
Because even our,
or any other part of the world for that matter.
Even our local pipe carvers here, I mean, they get all theirs shipped in from overseas.
Yeah, you've got suppliers in America that get them from overseas, and then local carvers will get them from them.
Yeah.
So, and you can get varying qualities, you know, briar that's been aged over long, long periods of time, briar that's been, you know, fire aged, or briar also that, you know, you can get plateau or grade, different grades of grain, you know, that are 1, 2, or 3. There's all kinds of things you can do. The most impressive for me to see are the big pipes that, you know, were made of a huge chunk of briar. Like someone got into this tree and dug it out of the ground and they were like, wow, that's going to make a massive pipe. And what they've done, you know, because the quality has to be so consistent over such a large block of this stuff, it's just really impressive when you see, you know, when you see where they can get that out of the ground and do that. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. That's very cool.
Yeah, I do love looking at briar, and you know, you can see one of my favorite tricks that a carver will do too is they'll take the plateau of the briar. But instead of carving it where the plateau is on the top, the bark is exposed on the top, they'll actually turn it upside down to kind of give it just a totally different radiating look. Some of your more sophisticated carvers are doing that. It's just really fascinating, yeah. So there's all kinds of little tricks you can do when you get into the briar. But, yeah, it's a fun thing.
It's
love
forward.
It.
Yeah. So, all right, I got to ask, the cherrywood thing, I want to go back to that really quick.
Yeah.
So does cherry wood have the exact same type of like heat resistant properties? I mean, one would imagine it have to, right?
Yeah, I mean the pipes I've seen that are from it, you know, people smoke regularly and use them regularly. I've never smoked one. My you know, gut assumption as a you know, just a someone that deals with it on a semi regular basis, you know, it would probably smoke a little hotter.
Yeah, I would imagine
probably burn a little hotter. But I'm just, you know, I'm not sure.
There's just something about the concept of stuffing a piece of wood with kindling and lighting it on fire and not expecting it to just combust in your head. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right. That would make for a bad morning.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, awesome. Yeah. Big fan of briar pipes. All of my pipes are briar.
Yeah.
All the pipes
I smoke are briar. I will say that. I've got a Meerschaum pipe and it collects dust on my shelf, and it probably needs someone to take it and give it a good home, but it does smoke cooler. But man, I'm just too hard on my stuff, and I love my briar pipes, and so they they have my heart.
That's good. That's good.
If you want to see more companies make things in America, consider buying more things from companies who are already doing that very thing. Companies like American Giant. These guys have been making t-shirts, sweatshirts, flannels, and blue jeans in America for the last 14 years, with cotton grown right here in the USA. That means good jobs for lots of hardworking Americans in factory towns all over the country. Check out their stuff in stores everywhere, or pick up something awesome at American-Giant.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week comes in to us from Matthew Butler on Facebook. He writes, there is a ukulele pipe shape, yet I have never found a ukulele shaped pipe. Why is that?
Yeah, that is really interesting. And Matthew actually does us the favor of sending us a link that's got a picture of it. The only pipe I've seen called a ukulele or, you know,
an Eskimo, right?
That's come through my shop, and I've never heard it referred to as an Eskimo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But yeah, I've seen a few come through the shop that people have referred to as a tugboat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now, I'm not exactly sure where that came from. But I have seen some Dunhill pipes that are of that variety, and off the top of my head, I can't really think of where what style those were in. If they were the Breyer or one of the Rock Briars or something, I really can't remember. But I have seen some Dunhills that are close to that. But yeah, you know, just not as familiar with the ukulele shape,
except
for the few little tugboat, quote unquote, that we've had come through the shop.
Yeah, it's interesting because it goes by so many names: the tugboat, the ukulele, the Eskimo, the bulldog.
Yeah,
it is kind of a bizarrely shaped pipe.
Yeah, I would fight someone that called it a bulldog. I think I would fight them.
Is it because you're of your state?
No. Not just because I'm Mississippi State University Bulldog, but because that pipe does not look like a bulldog.
No, not in the slightest. But I could see a bulldog smoking that pipe.
Yeah.
It's kind of a nose warmer.
Fair enough.
But I will say that, I mean, it is just kind of this, almost kind of like a unicorn of pipes, right? It's kind of just like this mythological shape that
it's
is
one
known
of those,
by different many names.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, that's the thing about pipe shapes is that you can have folks argue all day long. And I see it in the shop. I've had people come to pitched battles between the 320KS from Savinelli is always the most fun. You've got your contingent that calls it the author, and then a contingent that calls it a tomato, and those
right.
people don't like each other.
Well, this one, yeah, so you said that you have only seen it in the form of the tugboat. I have never seen this at all, but let's put it out to our listeners. If you are familiar, or better yet, if you own a ukulele,
man, send us a picture.
That would be great. We would love that. And we will be sure to share that on our Facebook and Twitter accounts so that a good friend of the show, listener Matthew Butler, will be able to find one himself.
That's right. Thank you, Matthew.
Quick fire with the squire.
All right, quick fire questions.
Bring it.
All right, so quick fire questions is more of a, let's see. So this is, what would you rather see, the stage play or the movie?
Okay.
All right. You follow me?
Yeah.
You're a theater guy to some extent. Yeah,
I do. I do like theater. You know, in Jackson, our options are a little limited, but I know. We've got New Stage, and there's a great one in Brandon that's a local theater, but we're close enough to New Orleans and Memphis to make it all work.
The Orpheum gets some good stuff.
It's sweet.
In Memphis. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So here are our options. Sound of Music.
Movie.
Yeah, the movie's really good.
I really love the movie.
Who is it?
Julie Andrews.
Julie Andrews. I mean, right. She just nails it.
Yeah.
I have seen so many different interpretations of this, both either, you know, on, they did the live television show a while back, and I can't remember who they got to play her, but nobody can beat Julie Andrews.
Yeah.
She just owns that role.
Yeah.
Shrek. Shrek the Musical.
Does Shrek have a musical?
Shrek has a musical. Broadway, I believe.
I would say Shrek the Musical just because I'd want to see how they pulled that off.
I'm going to have to go with the movie on
as
that
as much
one
as
too.
I love Shrek, I just, that I think the costumes in that would terrify me.
The novelty of it.
Right.
Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, got to go with the live play.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely,
man, right. so fantastic. Yeah, I do love the movie that came out. Gosh, it was probably 10 years ago or so now, but the score on that play, just really something. Yeah.
Yeah, I liked the movie too. Now, a lot of people who are diehard to the Broadway play said that the actor that played the Phantom, that his voice was not Phantom worthy. You know what I mean? Like that. I thought that he did a really interesting interpretation where he added more of kind of this angry, monstrous voice to the Phantom. But I think a lot of people are like, well, it doesn't sound, you know, he doesn't sound like an opera singer. And I was like, well, you know, you have to realize what he's doing with that character.
Well, and I really thought Emmy Rossum that played the protagonist in that movie, gosh, I can't even think of her name.
Christine?
Christine.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah, man, she nailed it. I mean, I thought she nailed it. Like for about 3 years after that movie, I had a big crush on her.
Minnie Driver's in that movie too. Do you remember that?
No.
She was the diva prima donna.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. It's a great song.
It's one of those things, whenever I pop that thing in, I always forget that she's in that. Right. It's like, there's Minnie Driver.
Where did that come from?
Bizarre. And then last but not least, The Lion King.
I'd have to go with the musical.
Yeah, the stage play?
I think so.
Me too. I've never seen it, but from what I've heard, it's just like fantastic.
Yeah, I've heard it's one of those that you just really need to see. Yeah,
absolutely. All right, well, good deal. That's quick fire questions. If you've got some quick fire questions that you would like to send our way, you can email us, csr@podastery.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
And listener feedback this week. On iTunes, we've got an awesome review. Do you want to? You want to read that?
Yeah, yeah. This one from iTunes. It's from Zombie Killer 21, aka You Are Why I Drink. Wow, we need to have some stories, Zombie Killer. I'd love to know how you get these names. That's fantastic. He says on Twitter, as someone who is relatively new to pipes and pipe smoking, I was looking for any knowledge I could get my hands on. I found your podcast, and after the first listen, was hooked. I'm not a religious man myself, but do respect those who are. I like the fact that you guys bring a bit of your beliefs into the show without being preachy. Also, the uber nerd in me loves all the Star Wars and Tolkien references. You guys are really helped me grow as a pipe smoker. Keep up the great work, and thank you for all you do. Zombie Killer, thanks, brother. Man, we appreciate it. Yeah, we, you know, like Bo and I have mentioned before, it's just, you know, we just kind of bring our personalities in the show, and the spirit of the Country Squire, our little pipe shop tucked away in Mississippi. But man, we're just geeks at heart, so we're glad you found us, and glad you enjoy it.
Yeah, and you harping on to something that JD and I have been talking about a lot lately, which is kind of this idea of, you know, the just kind of the spirit of the shop, and also just kind of this culture that wraps around sitting around with a pipe and like chilling out and talking with friends, because when you're sitting down and, you know, when you're taking a practice like smoking a pipe, it's much more of a, and we've talked about this so many times, but you have to slow down in order to do it.
You do.
You're not sitting there on your cell phone and you're not doing three or four things at once.
Yeah.
You know, it's an act. It's a practice. It requires you to be a little bit slower and be a little bit more thoughtful.
And therefore, it breeds kind of contemplative people and cerebral people. And it also makes people more that way.
Yeah, I think so. But what I want to do is I kind of want to open it up to you guys as we talk about different topics and look at different things that surround the culture of the pipe. Now, where this comes from is, you know, there are all of these different cultural zeitgeists that are in pop culture, right? Well, we as a group and as a kind of subculture have our own pipe culture, right? And that's things that deal with pipes, like Tolkien or Sherlock Holmes and you know, all these different kind of direct plugins to kind of what pipe culture is. But then there's also this kind of a broader aspect that's still into it. So, like, you know, talking about things like theology, talking about literature, talking about like Game of Thrones, I think kind of fits into that pipe culture, even though you don't necessarily have pipe smoking. At least I don't think you have pipe smoking that I can recall. Any of you book guys out there, let me know if I'm forgetting something. But, you know, there's just different things like that fit in. So
it's interesting. In the shop, as you know, we just inevitably have conversations about really fascinating stuff. The name that keeps coming up recently is Wendell Berry.
Wendell Berry.
Wendell Berry, of course, an American poet, author, very big on like agrarian lifestyle, a sense of place, a sense of kind of being connected with family, the past, your plot of land, and kind of the history of your place. He's not someone that would be very big on like going to McDonald's to get a fish sandwich. I'll just say that.
Sure. Yeah.
But Wendell Berry, you know, just kind of someone that would just exude, you know, that sense of kind of timelessness and slowness and thoughtfulness that the pipe smoker might love. And it's neat that stuff like that comes up really regularly.
Yeah, awesome. Well, what we want to do is we want to put kind of a question out to you guys to think about in the coming days and weeks. And that's kind of this notion of pipe culture. Again, it's not pop culture, it's pipe culture. Think through that. What do you feel that pipe culture is to you? What aspects of culture fit into pipe culture?
Mm-hmm.
Write us in to the show, csr@podastery.com, because in the very near future, we're going to take an episode and we're going to explore that, explore what is pipe culture.
Yeah.
And we very much want you guys to help us as we define really what this subculture truly is.
Yeah.
You know, part of that's theology. It's not always, it's not always part of that. I love that Zombie Killer says that we share our beliefs, but we're not too preachy. That's awesome.
Yeah.
We will actually have also another episode coming up shortly where, you know, there's also kind of a renaissance in the Christian community when it comes to pipes.
Yeah.
It's interesting because it seems like there's two warring factors there, right? There's kind of this, this sense where there's kind of the stigma around pipe tobacco in the Christian community and it's evil.
Right.
And then there's this other one where it's a really beautiful gift from God. And
that's right.
It's very much celebrated.
Those of us that feel a little more liberated.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you actually have the practice of, you know, even college groups going out, RUF groups going out.
That's right. That's right.
With their leader and having kind of Bible studies around, you know,
around pipes, you know, good cigars and that kind of thing. And yeah, it's fascinating, you know, how that's developed. And I'll be really honest. I mean, 35% or 40% of our customers at the Country Squire are either pastors or counselors. And that's true. And that's in the Deep South.
But that's the thing. In the very near future, we'll have an episode where we address that and we'll bring some other people in as well to discuss that a little bit.
Yeah, we'd love to help get y'all to help contribute to that.
Yeah.
It'd be wonderful.
Absolutely. If you want to contribute to the podcast even more, of course, you can write us, email us, csr@podastery.com. On Twitter, we're @SquireRadio. And of course, I'm @TheRealBoYork.
I'm @JohnDavidCole, and you can get us at the shop @_CountrySquire.
And then we also mentioned the iTunes reviews. Guys, that's the best possible way to give us some feedback and really help out the show and as you're doing so. Plus, our Facebook page. We're really trying to make sure that we're getting as many people aware of that as possible. We've got this wonderful Twitter following, and you know, we've got some great, wonderful downloads, and you know, we're just such a wonderful audience. We want to make sure that we give you guys a lot of ways to interact with us, and Facebook is a wonderful way to do it. Facebook.com/CountrySquireRadio is where you can find us there. And yeah, man, until next time.
Happy Easter, bud.
Happy Easter, man.
Happy Easter.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.